Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I am the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here for a Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. This is edition number 25 of season 3 of the Morning Devotional. We are currently working our way through the book of Proverbs as we look at various topics and themes. And today we find ourselves in part 2 of the topic of adultery, its danger, and its warnings given to us, the warnings given to us from the book of Proverbs. But let's pray first and seek God's help as we consider this very important subject. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word again this morning, as we glean from it the very warnings that are aimed at our sinful flesh, are aimed at our hearts, that are aimed at our conscience, that are given to warn us and to really help us and strengthen us. We would pray that it would do that, that your Spirit would help and minister to any who might need it. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed guard our hearts and our minds, that we might keep them pure before you, and that we might not fall into this awful sin that your word so repeatedly tells us is dangerous and deadly. So minister to us and strengthen us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we are in Proverbs chapter 5. Again, I'm going to read verses 1. I'm going to read through verses 1 through 6 of Proverbs 5 as we continue looking at this subject of adultery. We read there, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it." Again, we are discussing, we are thinking upon the scriptural issue, the issue that Scripture presents to us on the subject of adultery. We've been looking at the seventh commandment as given to us and expounded on by the larger catechism, where we note that the seventh commandment is indeed, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And we've considered some of the matters that are there in the opening lines of what is required, what are the duties required in the seventh commandment, that we are to be chaste in our body, our mind, affections, words, and behavior, and preserve that in the life of others, not to set a stumbling block or a snare or a trap for other people, whether in speech, conduct, jokes, material, whatever it may be. But the larger catechism goes on and then it says and tells us that one of the duties required is watchfulness over the eyes and all the senses. Watchfulness over the eyes. You know, one of the primary gateways by which man sins. It's not, and not just in this area, but especially in this area, is through the eye gate of the heart of man. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself who said in Matthew chapter 5 that this is very much a true thing. That if we're not careful to watch over our eyes, we will indeed fall in this area. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, we read there, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." Now, it's interesting to note here how Jesus highlights the whole issue of the eye gate, the senses of our visual realm. In verse 28, when he says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent." And then in verse 29, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out." There twice in this passage, he makes reference to this need to be watchful over our eyes. I don't need to tell you that we live in a world that is constantly bombarding our eyes and our hearts, then therefore, with images that are improper, not chaste, do not seek to govern any form of modesty or control. It is rampant and it is everywhere. It is subtle oftentimes, but sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes it's just flat out overt. with the ease of the internet and all the temptations that brings in this particular category, is it any wonder that one of the fastest growing industries on the internet is that of pornography? Because of the eye gates, because of the ability to promote and propagate these images regularly in front of other people. Day after day, week after week, being subjected to these images that will destroy the very soul of the one who is watching it. So is it any wonder we are warned, we are told that one of the duties required if we are not to commit adultery is to watch over that which we see, to be careful about what we look at. Now, I can't make rules for you. I can't tell you that you shall not watch pornography. That is just flat out sin. I can say that. But I cannot say and govern your other forms of entertainment necessarily. I can't tell you that you shall never watch TV, for instance. But I can say that you must watch television. You must watch things on various forms in media with this always in mind, that we are not to subject ourselves to that which is an abomination before God. That we're to be very careful about what we allow ourselves to see and look at, because it doesn't end there. It always moves to the very next step, as we saw yesterday. It moves from what we see to what we end up doing. It affects our minds and our thoughts and our hearts, and then eventually it will indeed affect how we behave. Even Job, during his time of great trouble, in Job 31, in verse 1, makes reference to this very important point, where he says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" He is determined to not sin with his eyes. And that we read, and I've already referenced this from 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 16. In 1 John 2 and verse 16, we read, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Job, in his great struggle and difficulty and experience that he went through, makes a covenant with his eyes. "How then could I gaze at a virgin?" He is conscious of the fact that through the eye gate, through the lack of discipline and control over what we look at, sin is unavoidable. Sin will come. And we ought not play with that reality. We ought to heed the very warnings of the Proverbs and Proverbs 5, because certainly this young man being led to the slaughter noticed something, saw something, was allured, was enticed by something, and it drew him away from the truth. And so my brothers especially, but anybody really, any sinner, we must be very careful about what we look at. I say this to you as much as I say it to myself. We are not, our souls are not made of titanium. They are affected by what we see and what we look at. And if we are looking at garbage all the time, we will end up acting like garbage and smelling like garbage. And there's a lot of that in our world. We ought to be careful what we allow our children to look at, that we might then obey the seventh commandment by preserving this in other people, parents, to not drop your children in front of any TV program that exists out there and use that television as a glorified babysitter while you go off and do whatever it is you're doing. To protect them from various books they may be looking at or other forms of entertainment. It takes work. It takes diligence. This doesn't come easy to any of us, and it's certainly hard work because we are fallen creatures, and so we need the admonition of God's Word to be very careful what we see and look at. That's one thing if we're walking down the street and we notice something or someone. But it's another thing to stand there and let it go beyond that. Jesus says that when we do that, through the eye gate, as we begin to feed it, we let our hearts feed upon it, we then sin. And so we must be careful. We must be watchful over what we watch We must be watchful over what we read. We must be watchful over what we allow ourselves to be engaged in, because it will indeed affect our mind and our heart. And if it's evil, it will affect our heart for evil. But if it's good and pleasing, it will affect our heart for godliness. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The information is there before you on the screen. And so until Wednesday, may the Lord help you today to glorify Him. And all that you do and all that you look at, may He help us all. God bless.